Well, good morning, everyone.
It's great to be here. And I don't know about you, but the presence of God has been so evident in this service. And as we've sung and as we've worshipped and as we've come into the very presence of God, into the throne room in that sense, I felt God in a powerful way. And to hear testimony, I love testimony. It talks about the transformation that happens in a person's life when God comes into a person's life. And even going through the face of difficulty and challenge and how when you invite God into that space that he just comes in and does a great work. And so thank you very much for all those who have who shared today. Certainly ministered to my heart. Well, I know that over the past month, and it's coming to an end now, this series on relationships. And it's good to talk about relationships because we're all in them in some way. There are many functional relationships, but I guess with all of us, sometimes there's dysfunctional relationships as well. And it's good to think about relationships. I know that over the past month, in the first week, you looked at particularly the relationship with parent and child, and what does that look like? And that is a challenging space sometimes, having four children myself. And it's good to learn about that, and what better place than in the church. Also, the relationship with and how we have relationship people who are going through, I guess, very, very difficult times and struggling times. And how do we come alongside them? What can we do to really speak into their lives in a positive way? And then last week, and I must admit, when I saw the heading of Craig's message, I was a bit worried I was going to ring up and pray for him. Have I married the right person? Fortunately, I didn't hear the message actually, but I guess the answer is yes, and I know the answer is yes, of course. But to think about the relationship of husband and wife, relationship of people you live with in that way, and how important it is we focus on that again, what better place, and to look at this in the light of the Word and in the place in the church. So we're going to broaden it a bit today and look at relationships in general. Because as I said, we are all in relationships in some way or another. Some are very close relationships. That might be our family. But there's other relationships that maybe the relationship we have with the guy at the coffee shop, you know, we meet every day, he knows our name. Relationships we have with those that we work with, relationships we study with, or all those sort of things. And it's quite broad, really, the relationships we have. And we need to be thinking about this and the impact that we have in relationships. And this is particularly what I want us to sort of just reflect on for a few moments today, to think about the impact we have on the relationships that we have. Now, I've got a few pictures here of some people. And I want you to think about how these people impact. Now, for those who don't know that person, who is it? Kim Kardashian, of course. Michael Jackson, not quite. No. But I don't have a lot to do with Kim Kardashian, but I know she's huge in the social media world. And millions of followers, millions. And for those who don't know, that's William Booth. So he started the Salvation Army. Now, they're all people that, even when you see their images, conjure up different things in our mind because they have an impact on us. Now, we're not in close relationship with these people, and we're probably thankful for half of the people up there that we're not in close relationship with them. But it reminds us that people leave an impact on others, even at a distance. It's an impact that can even last for many, many years, for decades, for generations. And it's in that sense that we too can leave an impact on others, especially in the relationships that we have. Now, I was reading a book not too long ago, and it's a leadership book by Dr. Henry Cloud. It's called Integrity. It's a really good book if you want a good book to read on leadership. He's a Christian, but it's written to a secular audience. but it's a powerful book. And I love an illustration that he uses in this book because he likens the impact that we have to that of a wave and to that of a wake of a boat. Now, I guess most of you, we are talking about wakes of boats today, not a wake that you have after you die. So we're talking about wakes. And you would know, I've got a little boat, and I know that when I go along and I look behind me, there I leave a wake behind me. And if I go past other boats, it affects them. And if bigger boats go past me, it affects me as well. So I've got a bit of a video clip here just to put it into context a bit. Now, this is not my boat, by the way. Just letting you know.
This is not going to be good. Damage. Just broke our bimini top on one of the boats.
Oh, no. I wonder if the people in the boat knew what was happening behind them. You know, out on the middle of the river there, just cruising along, oblivious really to what was happening behind them, to the wake that they left and what was affecting others. And they sailed on by, and never to give what was behind them a second thought. And the same thing can happen in relationships. But it's not only in, a destructive way or negative way. It can always also be positive. Many of you would know that Craig has a wake boat, a speed boat, that he goes wakeboarding on. His pride and joy. And I know that many of you have had that experience. I must admit I haven't, but in that sense, the boat is especially made to create a wake that you can use, to create this wave that people can surf on and sort of ride and go wakeboarding on. And so wakes can have a positive effect as well. But it's good to think about this wake that we leave behind us. And to ask the question, as the question was up there before, what we're thinking about today, what wake are we leaving? In our relationships with others, what wake are you leaving? What wake am I leaving? There's a quote that's out of the book, and I'd like to read it to you because I think it really challenges us in regard to this wake. Dr. Henry Cloud says, "The wake is the results we leave behind. And the wake doesn't lie and it doesn't care about excuses. It is what it is. No matter what we try to do to explain why or to justify what the wake is, it still remains. It is what we leave behind and it is our record." I don't know about you, but that really challenges me. To think about the wake that I'm leaving behind me in my relationships. Can you try and explain it? Try and pull it back? It's very difficult. As we refer to the reading that Tim read to us a little bit earlier on in Matthew chapter 5 there, and like Tim said, it's a well-known passage of Scripture, often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It contains the Beatitudes, what is referred to as the Beatitudes, all these sayings that Jesus said about those who are blessed. And as I reflect on this passage of Scripture, I can just picture Jesus here speaking to the crowd. He's drawn aside and he's up on the mountainside, and a large crowd has gathered and to hear and to hang off every word that he is saying. And I'm sure that as Jesus looks out on the crowd, he's not just there to give a sermon, but he's there to speak into the lives of people and speak into the hearts of people. And so he recognizes those who are in the crowd. And he looks around, and as he says here, he said, "Blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. Blessed are those of you who are merciful, for you shall be shown mercy. God blesses those of you who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God." And so we could go all through them there. But in the same way, I believe Jesus looks out upon all of us. And he's saying these words to us just as more, even as he was talking to the crowd so many, many years ago. And he sees who we are. He sees what we bring. He knows our heart. But it's interesting that at that point, after he shares the blessing and as he recognises the people, that he says two interesting things. He looks at the people and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, it wasn't giving that part of the sermon where he said, as far as possible, I want you to try and be salt. I want you to be light. But he really sort of puts that placement upon them. And he puts it upon us today in that sense. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world." What does it really mean? Now, it might be a really strange thing to think about the salt. But of course, in those days, it made perfect sense what Jesus was saying. He always contextualized a lot of times when he was sharing with the people. And people very much in those days knew the value of salt. They knew that actually you couldn't do without it. That to preserve food, you needed salt. They didn't have fridges, of course, in those days and all those sort of things. And salt was rubbed on the meat to preserve it. It was, of course, as it is today, salt was used as a flavouring. And it was necessary, a necessity of life to have salt. And so when he said, "You are the salt of the earth," people started to know what and grasp and be challenged by what he was saying. In the same way, when he said, "You are the light of the world," I mean, they didn't have all these fancy lights as we do have today. Light was so important to the people of that day. You can imagine, can't you? You know, having no electricity and relying on a candle, maybe a little oil lamp or something like that, and how important it was as you were sort of making your way in the dark spaces that little light was. Integral, really, to having it. And in using these illustrations, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And so just in the same way that salt and light were so necessary for life at that time, it's for us today. We, the people, are necessary in our relationships to be the salt and light to others. In both instances, Jesus is telling us that just as salt and light makes a positive difference, how we live our lives needs to make a positive difference on others. Salt being essential for life, and it was and still is, it's this preservative, it's a flavouring. And so like salt, we are to help preserve life and keep life good and godly. We are to make it pleasant and enjoyable. Our presence should add joy and love to the lives of those around us, to our relationships. The wake that we're leaving should be this sense of bringing pleasure and making a positive difference. As light brings hope in the darkness and provides guidance and direction, so our lives need to bring hope and give godly guidance and direction to the lives of those around us and to the culture in which we live. And so it starts to make a big impact, really, when he tells us we are to be the salt, we are to be the light. In that sense, if he maybe could use another illustration, you could have said, you know, the wake that a boat leaves, I want you to be that positive wake. I want what you leave behind to have a positive effect on others. I don't want that wake to be destructive. I don't want that wake to cause, you know, sort of, you know, something that's rough to others and something that disturbs others. It's something that people can use. So being salt and light in our world means bringing hope and joy and love and guidance to those around us. What specifically does this look like? What should we be saying and what should we be doing? It's interesting as we move on from the Beatitude or that part of the scripture where he's saying blessed are those and God blesses those, that for the next couple of chapters, really for the length of the sermon, he gives some really important teaching. And teaching that's very applicable to us to give guidance on how we can be salt and light and how we can leave a positive wake in the relationships that we have. And so for a few moments, I want to identify those. Now, this goes chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, it ends at verse 28. So I won't go through, we're not going to talk about everyone, but I'm just going to give you the headings because we haven't got all day. But as we go through each one, I want you to think about it, how important this is and relate it to the wake that we leave. So as we go through the passage of Scripture, and you'll notice on the right-hand side all the Bible references. But to be truly salt and light, we need to obey God. Makes sense, really. Not to give in to anger. To remain pure. To remain faithful in our relationships. Keep our word. You can see how these speak into leaving a positive wake, don't you? If we live according to this. Not to seek revenge in our relationships. To love others. Even our enemies. This is chapter 5. To be salt and light, to leave a positive wake. Moving into chapter 6, Jesus talks about the importance of being generous, especially to the needy, and got a great example of this even happening this weekend with the church here, to another community that needs it so much. Practice spiritual disciplines, pray, read the Bible, spending time with God in quietness, and they can all reflect to our relationships with others. Trust God for our finances and needs. Into chapter 7, don't judge others. Pray again. Remain true to God. And listen to God and follow his teaching. Think how different the world would be right now if we all embrace these values, this teaching that Jesus gave, has given to us. How different the world would be if we allow these characteristics to shape our thoughts and words and deeds. If we were courteous and friendly with those we meet, and if we were kind and cheerful in the words that we speak, and the things that we share on social media, how different our world would be. We would look different. There would be an impact for the good. What salt we would be if truly we preserved the nature of God in how we lived our lives. What a light we would be if we were truly godly in our attitude toward one another. The fact is that God finds value and worth in all people. And God treats people with dignity and respect, and we need to have those same eyes that God has and the same heart when it comes to how we view others. But of course, and if we go back to that part of the text where he's talking about salt and light, to be salt and light, we need to be visible. And Jesus draws this out and he said, you know, let me read it to you there. He says, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavour? Can you make it salty again? You might as well just throw it out. And no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why? Not to build ourselves up to make ourselves look good, but so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. And so really, the question is, and the challenge is, what wake are we leaving? And I want us to reflect on this for a few moments, just as we draw our service to a close. There's a question I've got written here. It says, is our world in which we live better because we are present? Are the relationships that we have better because we are present? And to think about the wake that we leave. And sometimes we're not even... It's like that boat in that first illustration, you know. They were oblivious to what was happening behind them. They didn't know about the destruction that was happening on the shore. And same way, that can happen in our relationships sometimes. You know, we mightn't mean to say a nasty word or just take that sarcasm a bit too far. But the wake's left and it can't be drawn back. It is what it is, Dr. Henry Cloud says. And so we've got a time this morning just to think about that for a few moments and to reflect on that and think about your relationships, not only with those who, you know, close to you and the relationships that we have, that you see people every day, but even to extend that, to think about the relationships that you have with even in the people, you know, in the shops or things like that. And to allow God just to really move in your life so that you leave a positive wake. Because really it's only God who can help us leave the positive wake. You know, it goes beyond our human nature sometimes, but it's when the Spirit of God lives in us and He lives through us that we can leave a positive impact on others. And we mightn't even know that sometimes, but when we speak life into people, when we speak hope into people, when we even, sometimes it's not even saying a word actually. It's just maybe a listening ear, or maybe it's just by our interaction with them in a positive way that it builds them up and they feel a lot better, because the wake is something they can use to help them through the day. So every week, you would know here at NBC is a place of prayer. And I don't know what God is saying to you today. Maybe God is speaking to you about something completely different even today, and that you need to settle that with Him. Maybe you need some help with some relationships. And some of the wake's been a bit disruptive, and you want to ask God for forgiveness and you want healing to come into that relationship. Then this is a place, a perfect place really, to come and pray. And someone will pray with you, or you might just want to pray by yourself. Really asking God to empower you in such a way that the Spirit of God lives in you. And that the relationships are good. And the wake is positive. Let's just have some quietness. The way is open if you want to come forward to prayer today. But we're here as individuals, in a sense. We're a community of believers, of course, but as individuals that we sit before God, reflect on that question, what wake are you leaving?